what you would have done. So I missed a million miles.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Anon Radio.
Ice casting on AnonRadio.net. Port 7070.
Anon Radio.
Ice casting on AnonRadio.net. Port 7070.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It's 1903 UTC here in, well, dreary, overcast, gray, wet Austin, Texas. The ground on the roof is just totally wet, totally saturated. The walls, not totally wet. So it's like we've had some rain, but not enough to entirely coat the building. I don't know. It's a couple of nice compliments wet out here today. But anyway, it is 12 degrees right now. 13 is the high. The low, 10. So not a lot of variation. Just gray and mono. Kind of like that tone that we were hearing from the song. Just like, wah. Great. I'm making my way to the shady spot. It has not rained enough to make my little spot that I like to sit on wet, so we have won that day. And if you'd like to hang out and talk during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org and launch commode chat. That's com. Just type com, press enter, then type g for go to, and then an on radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll be hanging out with the cool kids. Let me see if my connection's still valid after all the connections and dropping. Oh, nope, my connection did die. So we're going to close it, relaunch it. From where I sit at my desk at work, I have to go down an elevator and then up another elevator to get to the roof here. So that's why whenever you hear the show start, usually you'll hear at least one drop, sometimes two. But hey, now we're all here. We're all in here. So let's give a shout out to Claudio M and Stug, Rat Sue in the house, as well as Claudio M and Stug. And yeah, and we just got all sorts of stuff going on. X1, Stug, Ratsu, Claudio M. I want to make sure I got everybody. Sure, Jazzmaz, always listening. Shout out to Publius. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Not as much death today, which I think is good. Hey, Seizo, welcome. Oh, well, goodbye. Left just in time, I guess. Let's see, we got multicolored Teslas driving in the rain. Oh, a Lexus. That's not a Tesla. Huh. Three blue Teslas in a row. That's kind of interesting. And then an Ioniq 5. I kind of want one of those. Ioniq 5. Let's see. Somebody turning left. Oh, they stopped. They stopped, but they're already halfway out into the other road. So, yep, they decided whatever. Went ahead and continued over it. Ooh, and I got a siren. Anyway, three blue Teslas. Yeah, I should have made a wish. But yeah, it is dreary. It's a little chilly. I left my little hoodie at my desk, so this is nice cold news. But I did remember to bring a drink. I brought a cherry Coke. So watch out, world. All right, so let's get started. We got a bunch of news. It's 1906 UTC here. So let's go. The High Court in Kampala, Uganda, has sentenced 25-year-old Musa Sizi. To 105 years in prison for the heinous murders of three women and a three-month-old infant. The victims were identified as his girlfriends, and the infant was the child of one of the victims. Musa Sizi, who pleaded guilty, pursued romantic relationships with the women before subjecting them to sexual assault and ultimately ending their lives. Shockingly, he went further by burning and disposing of their bodies, leaving a trail of horror. The sentencing, delivered by Justice Margaret Mutoni, underscores the gravity of Musa Sizi's crimes. She emphasized the necessity of the lengthy sentence to safeguard young women, including his own six-year-old daughter. The case unfolded after his arrest in March 2021 on suspicion of killing five women and an infant. He was convicted in July for the murder of one of the victims. During the trial, the lawyer appealed for leniency, citing his difficult upbringing as a former street child. The High Court's decision serves as a critical step toward justice and sends a clear message about the severity of crimes. So that's the story there, but pretty wild. That's a lot of what's going on, today. A lot of sadness, a lot of stuff centered around, violence against women or just, women's reproductive rights, that kind of stuff. Real bummer. Claudio M's in the house. Unfortunately, he hates his laptop keyboard and is suffering from dreary weather also. So I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it doesn't get too gnarly. Oh, this oncoming emergency vehicle is honking their horn more. Hey, it sounds like they might have stopped. Let's walk. I'm gonna keep reading the news, but we're gonna walk over towards where the sound is. I'm curious. No, now we got multiple sirens, and now they're honking. Ooh, that's usually a pretty serious business when they're honking. All right, here they come. Let's see what we got. Fire truck. Oh, shucks, I thought there were multiple vehicles. I only see one fire truck. Sorry, guys. I thought we were going to have some kind of traffic excitement. Unfortunately, it sounds like what happened was the fire truck, I don't know if they just don't test people or if people just don't remember. I think it's a matter of a mix of poor training and poor retention. But a lot of people who drive in the city don't seem to know how to handle four-way stops, malfunctioning lights, or emergency vehicles. And so when the emergency vehicle shows up, they just try and race the emergency vehicle. And it's like, the rule, at least in Texas, is slow down and get out of the way. All right, we've made it to the other side of the roof here. Let's see what's going on here. Claude M is experiencing the dread of knowing that the weather can change, but the keyboard will not. Exciting for a moment, but oh well. Hey, I have some CBD capsules in my pocket. The rest of my afternoon is going to be nice. Okay, let's keep on moving. There's other stuff going on. Since I mentioned violence against women, we got to flip that on its head and talk about a woman charged with causing her husband's death. A 50-year-old woman accused of stabbing her husband has been charged in court with causing death by a rash act. I love Singapore crime news. It's the language they use is just awesome. Dania Shop was allegedly in a scuffle with her husband at the void deck of Block 631, Ang Mo Kio Avenue 4, at around 11:50 p.m. on December 11th. Mr. Mohammed Ali Saban, 62, suffered a puncture wound from a silver-colored foldable knife. The police said in a statement on December 13th that the victim was unconscious when taken to hospital and died the next day. During the hearing on December 13th, Bania told the court that she understood her charge, but she was not the one who killed him. My husband was the one who injured himself. The prosecution requested that the accused be remanded so that the investigation officer can take her to recover exhibits and reconstruct the crime scene. In response, the accused said she wished to be granted bail so she could pay her final respects to her husband. She added that she had given the investigating officer all her statements and had requested to be released on bail, but the officer didn't allow her to leave custody. District Judge Brenda Tan, ordered Bania to be remanded for a week. If convicted, the accused can be jailed for up to 5 years or fined, or both. Excuse me. Or both. So, yeah. Man kills his 3 girlfriends and children. Woman kills her husband. I mean, it's just back and forth. Lots of death. But don't worry, there's always more death. It doesn't stop. But let's talk more about, let's take a break real quick. Let's go to the DR Congo. Just a few days to go before the presidential election in the DRC, the issue of faulty voter cards is worrying voters and election observers alike. At a time when the DRC is already weakened by attacks from the M23, that's Mike 23 Rebellion, and other armed groups, the issue risks adding a new layer to the specter of post-election crisis. As Congo prepares to hold elections on December 20th, a record 6.9 million people are displaced across the vast Central African nation. Fighting between the military and rebels has displaced hundreds of thousands of people in recent months and exacerbated the crisis. While many of those displaced do not have voter cards, the card's poor quality is another concern. Printed with thermal ink, that's a bad idea. Thermal ink is good for receipts and temporary documents. You shouldn't use it for anything that you're planning to hold on to with any kind of permanence, that's for sure. They're quickly becoming illegible. Nima Simba, a Goma resident, said the voter cards used to be of much better quality. Look, is this a card or just a piece of paper? My name's no longer visible. My face is faded. We used to have good cards, but look at this one. The authorities lied to us, she said. As far as political parties are concerned, the faulty voter cards are already prompting some candidates to use strong words to undermine the credibility of the election. So, a lot of questions floating around, and the DRC looking like it's going to have quite some trouble come December 21st, or the day after the election, you know, whenever the votes are counted. We'll find out, though. All right, let's go back to death and destruction. see you later, Havoc. See you in a little bit. Claudio M. is snacking on apples and peanut butter. All right, that's pretty good. X1 wants more silver folding death and destruction. Well, here we go. Here's another story from the Straits Times. This one's a much more tragic one. This is more a coat hanger colored story, and it's something that will probably be happening more and more in the United States. A teenage boy and his girlfriend were just 14 and 15 years old when they had sex, and the girl got pregnant. That's how babies are made. Concealing the pregnancy from their parents, the teenagers decided to abort the fetus on their own. Their methods, which they found online, included the girl inserting a clothes hanger into her body in an attempt to pull the fetus out, taking abortion pills, and having her abdomen punched and kneed by the boy. The girl gave birth to a stillborn son on June 2021. She kept the body in her cabinet for 2 days before burying him in the garden of her house at the instigation of her boyfriend. On December 13th, the boy, who was from a top school, was found guilty of sexual penetration of a minor and abetting her in concealing the child's birth by burying the child. He cannot be named because he was a minor at the time of the offense. The accused is set to be sentenced on January 24th. The Straits Times understands that the girl has been given a conditional warning for her role in the case. The court hears that the teenagers were secondary school classmates and began a relationship in May 2020. The boy, now aged 18, would have sex with his girlfriend in his bedroom, which he shared with his brother, when the latter was not home. It's probably for the best. I don't know why we need to know how they were hooking up. Deputy Public Prosecutor Gan E. Kiat said the accused did not use condoms as he found it difficult to buy them because of his age. it's funny. Why didn't you use condoms? Well, I'm too young. They wouldn't sell them to me. Okay. Well, then why are you having sex? Well, I don't know. Anyway, real tragedy that there's criminal stuff going on with these kids. Anyway, in January 2021, the girl suspected that she was pregnant and she felt nauseous and had missed her period. The boy then bought a pregnancy test kit online for her. After finding out about the pregnancy, the couple tried to abort the fetus. After she birthed the child, she cut the umbilical cord with a pair of scissors. The accused then told her to cut the placenta into small pieces, flush them away, and bury the body. The girl wrapped the body in newspaper and hid it in her cabinet, but her boyfriend told her that it was inappropriate and risky. 2 days later, she buried the body in the garden of her home and would sit there to grieve from time to time. That's really sad. A month later, the girl's mother found that she was exceptionally quiet and asked what was wrong. The girl told her mother what had happened and they filed a police report. Very troubling times, though. For a second, I thought you were talking about placenta, and I was like, oh, no. No, we're talking about apples and peanut butter, which are delicious. So I've got more abortion stories, but before we get into that, here, let's take another break. These heavy stories, I figure it's good to have a nice little short break. So check it out. A pensioner on a mobility scooter has driven into a man who grabbed the last pasty before him at a popular bakery. In scenes akin to Kill Bill, but set in Devon, an elderly man brandishes his walking stick at his target and then pursues him in a slow-speed chase outside Country Cottage Bakery in Bidford. Bidford? Bidford. B-I-D-E-F-O-R-D. In a video shot by a local from a nearby window, the pasty-loving pensioner appears to drive into another man who falls over on a sign on the busy high street. Witness Oak Lee said she saw the man taking it out on a few locals before she could whip out her phone to record the bickering bakery customers. She told Devon Live they were arguing because he had the last pasty from the bakery and then bumped into him. He was taking it out on a few people there. A passerby takes the walking stick from the pensioner as another grabs his keys out of the ignition, leaving the pensioner stranded. Devon and Cornwall police identified the man involved in the squabble over the £4, 30 pence steak pasty, and seized his scooter with a PCSO, Papa Charlie Sierra Oscar, seen driving it back through the town to the station. And then they have a photo of of the policeman driving the scooter. I'm going to put that in calm. Hello, Freebird. Welcome. Come on. Paste. Enter. Scooter. Cop. Alright, so if you want to see the scooter cop, you can go to sdf.org/l/1hl. That's sdf.org/Lima/1HotelLima. sdf.org/l/1hl. All lowercase. Let's see what we got here. Stug saying, we had a good morning from Freebird. Hello, good morning. Ratsu, nasty last pasty scenes. good times. So yeah, that was our nice little palate cleanser, if you will. I got two upsetting stories and one okay, and then we'll talk a bit some more. The U.S. Supreme Court is to consider abortion pill case. the U.S. Supreme Court will decide whether to restrict access to a commonly used abortion pill. It will be the most significant U.S. reproductive rights case after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, ending the nationwide right to abortion. The Biden administration had asked the court to overturn a decision to limit access to the drug mifepristone over anti-abortion group safety concerns. In Texas, they tried to get the FDA to sue the FDA to say that they didn't properly vet the drug 20 years ago. But it's like, it's been safely used for 20 years. You can't really, it didn't work. The Supreme Court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority, will hold arguments next year. Ruling is expected by next summer, months before the next presidential election. Sorry, I was drinking my drink. I got a cherry Coke. I wanted to get a Coke Zero, which I know has aspartame, which is going to eat holes in my brain. But it was sold out, so I ended up getting a cherry Coke. Do you have a cherry pie, Charming Jerry, or whatever the song is? Alrighty, let's check real quick. Hey, we got a note from Freebird. I'm Matt, in fact, consider deletion of certain account in my absurd collection. However, I need to keep the counts on which I paid for VPN. So Flipper88 and this account will definitely not be going anywhere at all. Fantastic. Well, that's good to hear. Hey, and the Z-Man's in the house. Welcome, Zorhoff. Welcome, welcome. I'm glad to see you all here. I guess this is a good time as any to remind you, in 9 minutes, 8 minutes and some change, really, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio. So you want to stick around and listen to that. There's dudes, there's synthesizers. It's always a lot of fun. You might get to meet Pippa, the sergeant-at-arms of the Dubious Goals Committee. You'll definitely meet Tobe. He's the chairman of the committee. And, you know, you never know. You might meet the girl that works at the grocery store. You might find out about the Greek restaurant. You could find out about dudes. Or maybe, just maybe, we'll do some soft crafts room stuff. You never know. The Dubious Goals Committee airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio, 1930 UTC. You always press the equal sign in com if you would like. Pressing the equal sign will give you the current upcoming schedule. You can also type anonradio at the command prompt, or just go to anonradio.net. That's Alpha November Oscar November Romeo Alpha Delta India Oscar.net. That's anonradio.net, and that will show you all the stuff that's going on. You can even listen from the website if you're so inclined, and also information on how to be a DJ, open mic, all of that stuff. But Stug saying, pasties are a delight. Claudio M saying, you'll also learn about beef. Oh, yeah, that's true. And Bill McClintock mashups. Oh, man, Stug, pasties sound good. Over here in Austin, we've got empanadas. The company, it's empanadas, but they put a bunch of M's in there to make the sound like something's delicious. I'm not sure if they're the same thing or not. Let me know. But they're meat-filled pastries, and they're delicious. Well, let's see. Z-Man saying, went to uni in part of Michigan that was mining-centric. Lots of Cornish and Finnish influence. Pasties were on the local school menu regularly. Oh, and Claudio M. is making empanadas this weekend with his girl. Can't wait. Fantastic. I love all this cultural exchange we're getting. I guess since you mentioned mining and we're running out of time, let's jump over. Let's stop talking about abortion news and jump into it. There's some space news that I thought was really interesting, and it blew my mind. Check this headline out. House Committee debates space mining. That's right, space mining. There are no pasties in space. But here's the story. A House hearing on space mining turned into a partisan debate about both the viability of the nascent field and the jurisdiction of the committee to examine it. The Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee of the House Natural Resources Committee took up the topic of mining the moon and asteroids for the first time at a December 12th hearing, where witnesses argued that space resource extraction could be essential for the future of the U.S., but required both careful study and government support. Some witnesses cautioned that the U.S. was at a risk of falling behind China in extracting space resources. A professor at Arizona State University's Thunderbird School of Global Management was quoted as saying, meanwhile, Michelle Hanlon, executive director of the University of Mississippi Center for Air and Space Law, provided a similar assessment. Winning requires only getting there first, she said. Interpretations of the concept of due regard in the Outer Space Treaty, she argued, could mean that a spacecraft that lands or even crashes on the moon or other celestial body could create an exclusion zone that would reserve the mineral resources within it. We must accelerate our efforts, she says. Another witness was quoted as saying, I'm not opposed to mining in space. I think there may be more positive outcomes than negative. However, he said any decisions on whether and how to proceed with space mining should be examined by a committee with representation from science and industry, as well as cultural experts, ethicists, and others. Sounds like they got one of four experts that's actually, like, being level-headed about this. Of course, the group was upset because China was mentioned, so then they started talking about all this political stuff around China. Essentially, the committee does have jurisdiction, is what they're saying. The jurisdiction talks about mineral resources, but it doesn't mention space. Democrats also questioned whether space mining was a near-term priority, particularly if it requires government support. We're going to spend billions of dollars to subsidize private industry for 60 to 80 years. Let's see. One space mining company briefly mentioned at the hearing was Astroforge, a startup with long-term plans to mine asteroids for metals. The company launched its first spacecraft, but guess what? They revealed the company ran into problems trying to operate the spacecraft since its launch. There was a design flaw they figured out before the launch, so they knew it was going to not work when they were going to launch it. Essentially, it's wobbling up in space, and so it's not in a stable orbit, so they can't communicate with it. And they expect to lose total communication loss in 3 months. So all sorts of stuff going on there. Let's see what we got going on in comm real quick. No pasties in space yet. Claudia M saying, this is how we encounter Sinistar and die. Okay, let's see. 4 out of 5 idiots approve of space mining. Very true. All right. Also, the Space Force, this is a United States branch of the military, says they had their first Space Power Conference. Space Force, on December 12th, kicked off its first national conference focused on professional development, bringing together service members known as Guardians from across the nascent military branch. The Space Power Conference, with about 2,000 people from the U.S. Space Force, allies, and private industry, was organized by the Space Force Association, an advocacy nonprofit group that promotes the Space Force mission in the public and policy spheres. So, I'm not going to go into the whole propaganda piece, but it was just a bit of a surprise that we were doing that. Let's see, what else is happening? Well, we got 3 nuclear news stories real quick. First, China, as we mentioned, they're apparently going to steal all the minerals from space if the United States doesn't act quickly. Also, China has developed a 100-ton transport container for used fuel from large, fast reactors. The China Institute of Atomic Energy, or CIAE, announced, following test verification of a full-scale prototype container, the design has obtained design license approval. It looks like a giant, it looks like a barbell. So it's funny because it's like, oh, at scale, this is like many times bigger than a person. The transport container adopts a multi-layer sandwich structure and uses a composite foam aluminum buffer, which can effectively solve the design problems of shielding and buffering of the used fuel transport container. At the same time, they've also built the country's first large tonnage vacuum lead casting bench and a special containing silicon resin pouring bench to meet the lead and boron containing resin casting needs of a large used fuel transport container. So everything about this was new. The way to make it and everything else. Anyway, we're out of time. hey, Tobe's in the house. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
That sound means that our time's coming to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Dubious Goals time. It's time for the dubious.